what it's about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
All right. Welcome to a Wednesday night. It is Nicole Sandler here with you on Air America Radio. And boy, we have a good show for you tonight. I'm really, really excited to speak with somebody in the next hour that I've been looking forward to speaking with for a few weeks now, ever since I first heard Wendell Potter be interviewed by Bill Moyers. I was so thrilled that somebody like this man exists. He was the head of corporate communications at Cigna, one of the largest for-profit insurance companies in the country. He had that job for 15 years. And before that, he had worked in a similar capacity for Humana, another big for-profit health insurance company. And I guess he came to Bill Moyers' attention after testifying before the Senate on some of the, I can only call them atrocities committed by these health insurance companies. What's so atrocious about the way they behave is the fact that they do it, they make their livings. Everything that these companies are, do is under the auspices of healthcare, yet they do nothing to make us healthy. They do nothing to make you better. They don't even help you to get the care you need. In fact, what they do is try to deny you care after you've paid your premiums and, and kept up your end of the deal. Then they try to find ways to not fulfill their end of the deal, to not give you the health care that you've been paying premiums all along so that you be insured against illness, right? So Wendell Potter used to be on the dark side, and he saw the light. So in the next hour, he will join us to talk about what turned him around, what insurance companies are legally allowed to do. It will stun you. In just a few minutes, we're trying to reach our first guest, Milt Shook. And I have a feeling Milt might have emailed me the wrong number, so I'm trying to multitask here because I just emailed him again. And I also emailed him the hotline number to the studio. So Greg and Marcus in New York, keep an eye out because maybe Milt will call us. If not, we've got other ways to try to track him down. Anyway, Milt Shook came to my attention because his blog has been getting a lot of notice lately. His blog is called PleaseCutTheCrap.com. And I only first heard about this blog because what Milt has done recently in the last week or so is take on the gargantuan job of deconstructing the right-wing lies on the health insurance bill. Yeah, I guess he found a website or an article written by this guy, Alan Karuba, who's just a right-wing nut job. Wikipedia describes this guy as a public relations counselor and freelance writer who is a frequent critic of environmentalism, Islam, and global warming. Think about that. This is what this guy is a critic of. Environmentalism, Islam, the whole religion, right? And global warming. Yeah, so that gives you an idea of where this guy's coming from. So he wrote a piece, page after page of reasons to hate Obamacare, is what this piece is called. And I've got this linked to from my blog at RadioOrNot.com and from the Nicole Sandler Show page at AirAmerica.com. So the links are there. But what this one article did, it only got through the first 500 pages of, I guess what they were criticizing was H.R. 3200. Of course, there is no bill yet. We do not have a health care bill. There are different versions out there. There are different, there's H.R. 3200. We haven't gotten one bill out of the Senate yet. 3200 has been marked up by three different committees in the House. And when they come back from recess, they'll be reconciled, and then they'll have to get in committee with the House and, put them all together. So there's a lot of work to be done. So there is no health care bill per se. But I guess what these people did was took what was out there and started criticizing it. So Miltschuk took his blog, on which he'd already been writing a lot of really common sense stuff, already under the title of PleaseCutTheCrap.com, and he began deconstructing these right-wing lies on the health insurance bill. And the more I read it, the more I fell in love with this guy. So I contacted him yesterday. I asked him if he would join me. And sure enough, Milt Shook is on the line with us right now. Hi, Milt. Thanks for joining us on Air America.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you tonight?
I am just peachy.
Terrific. Now, moments before we went on the air, I got an email from you in which you stated that, I guess, you know, the first guy, Alan Karuba, must have gotten lazy and he only got through the first 500 pages of the bill, which
exactly.
I'm guessing is H.R. 3200. Since we don't really have a, there's no final bill, there's no real bill for them to be doing this with yet, but that must, is that the one that they're tearing apart?
Well, the bill that they're using is actually the original bill that President Obama sent to the House. And it really is pretty much the main bill. Now, granted, there's no final bill, but this is essentially what they're working from. Now,
okay.
As we all know, there's like three bills.
Yes.
But this is like the one from which all the others come. So, and the first guy, I guess, the ADD kicked in, so, you know, somewhere around 500, page 500, he got bored. But this new group that was pointed out to me, which is Liberty Counsel.
Right.
Which is related to Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell actually, you know, created this. They went through the whole bill and they complained about everything in the bill. So now I'm continuing from page 500 on.
Okay, so now you have part two, and you said these lawyers are long-winded, so there will be a part three. Stay tuned. Before we get to deconstructing these lies, I want to talk about how long you've been doing this, because you've got a pretty substantial blog going on here. And what I did, I went back quite a ways through the archives and have been enjoying your stuff, because you've got an opinion, and and the title of the blog fits perfectly, PleaseCutTheCrap.com, because you sort of sound off on a lot of things. So can I ask who you are, what you do, what your background is?
I'm about as regular guy as it gets. I started doing this actually about 2002, not this blog, but I actually had a website called The Daily Weasel. I don't know. Basically, a bunch of us used to argue on Usenet against right-wingers on a regular basis. And we formed kind of an ad hoc group called the Lying Socialist Weasels. Of course, the title was totally ironic, but the right-wingers don't get irony, so, you know. And so I created the Daily Weasel. At one point, the Daily Weasel, I probably had about 20 to 25,000 hits a day on the Daily Weasel. This is before blogging. And actually, Tom Hartman used to write things for the Daily Weasel on a regular basis before he became, you know, the big radio guy. So I've been doing this for quite some time. I had to give it up because I was a single parent, toddler, you know, had to work full time.
Wow.
Just couldn't keep doing it. So I just really got back into it about a year and a half ago.
I see. Well, you do some great stuff, and you're in Arizona.
I'm in Arizona right now, yes.
Oh, but that's not where you live full time?
Actually, up until a year ago, I was living full time in Maryland. In the last year, I've been traveling all over the place. I even spent a few months in Australia. And I continued blogging from Australia. Now my son is in the Army. Actually, he is going to be shipped to Afghanistan on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So a lot of things have changed. I'm kind of out here, you know, kind of making sure my dad's taken care of and stuff. And just traveling the country and seeing things and working and doing all that stuff. So.
All right, and debunking the right-wing lies about health care. So let's do this, Milt. Milt Shook is with us. The website is pleasecutthecrap.com. We're going to take a break here and then come back on the other side and start going through some of their the things they come up with, some of the right-wing crap, and we'll have you debunk them and get your whole take on what they're saying and what the truth actually is. If you want to get in on it, you can. The number is 866-303-2270. Milt Shook is with us. PleaseCutTheCrap.com, and we'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
I heard this old story before, where the people keep a calling for the metaphors, but don't leave much up to the...
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
And we are back with Milt Shook, who is the proprietor and the blogger, the head guy, I guess the guy, at PleaseCutTheCrap.com, who has taken on the gargantuan job of deconstructing the right-wing lies on the health insurance bill. So, Milt, honestly, I haven't gotten through the whole thing, but I have fun just going through and like, finding one of the things they say and reading your refuting. Do you have any favorites?
I guess my favorite is the constant and the constant repetition of the term acorn.
Mm.
I mean, if you were to listen to these people, in fact, I kind of said this in a forum today, that I really think that acorn might have some actionable, you know, stuff against some of these people, because they're just defamed on a regular basis by the right wing. And it's like every time they mention anything they mention in the bill that might have something to do with poor people or minorities, they invoke ACORN.
Or unions. Here's one. They say at page 65, this is one of their claims, one of the, what did they call it? Page after page of reasons to hate Obamacare. Page 65. Taxpayers will subsidize all union, retiree, and community organizer health plans. Read SEIU, UAW, and ACORN.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, that if there was ever any proof, or if you ever needed any proof that these people were dead set against the average working person, this type of thing is it. And that's, you know, I think what bothers me most about all this, and what really got me to start really concentrating on the healthcare plan, is that I spent, when my child was young, okay, now he's 19 now. When he was little, there were long periods of time when I did not have health insurance, and I worried about it every single day. I know exactly what it's like for these people. And for a group of people to just say, no, you can't have it, even if I'm willing to pay for it, even if the working people are willing to pay for it, okay, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, and the fact that these people have to lie about everything they're against means they don't have a leg to stand on, you know.
Right. Well, I agree. But and we're seeing this across the board with their fights, you know, most notably their fight against health care reform. But what I don't get is why Joe Average, right, would be out there just shilling for these for-profit insurance companies. They're not paying him off like they paid off a lot of the members of Congress and the Senate with campaign contributions, things that I refer to as bribes. But why the average guy down the street who, you know, maybe he hasn't had to file a big claim yet, and maybe he's lucky that he's still employed and has decent employer provided health insurance. But God forbid the day he loses his job, or the day somebody in his home, in his family, comes down with cancer and the insurance company decides that, that they weren't completely honest on their application with their history, and they never mentioned that somebody suffered from acne once, so they're going to disallow the claim for cancer, which they do, and which we'll find out in the next hour when I have Wendell Potter on, that it's perfectly legal for them to do so. Why does the average person want to stick their neck out to stick up for these crooks?
I think, I thought about this a long time ago, and there's probably a piece on it from a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But, and this is one of the reasons why single payer will never sail. Okay, we're going to have to work into single payer, which I think this bill does. Okay, this bill, by creating a public option, will create a platform for moving us into single payer. But you have to keep in mind that even though 47 million people don't have insurance right now, 253 million people do, okay? And the vast majority of these people have no idea how much is being paid on their behalf for health insurance. If this bill doesn't go through, okay, then I would argue that the best bill they could come up with as a secondary bill would be a full disclosure type bill. In other words, every single person who has health insurance should be told exactly how much they're getting paid or how much their employer is paying for their health insurance. I think the only possible way that we can get everybody on board on this thing is to disclose everything. Nobody's read their contract. They have no idea what their contract says.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has any idea how much their employer is paying. They're paying, like when I worked at the law firms I used to work at, I used to be a paralegal. When I was working there, the only reason I knew how much they were paying on my behalf for my health insurance was because of the way they paid me.
Right.
And my premiums when I left a year ago.
Milchuk, you know what? Hold that thought, because we'll get to it. We've got to take a break here. I'm up against the clock. Milchuk of please cutthecrap.com is with us. We'll continue with him in just a moment on Air America Radio.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
And we are back. Milchuk is with us from the blog website, pleasecutthecrap.com. And he's gotten a lot of notice lately for good reason. He has taken on the huge task of deconstructing the right-wing lies on the health insurance bill. So, Milt, I'm sorry. We got when we come up on those hard breaks at the bottom of the hour, I gotta give in to the clock. But you were talking about the premiums for yourself and your son.
Yeah, and it's no problem. I understand. The premiums for myself and my son as of a year ago were over $1,000 a month. That's just for myself and my son. If
mm-hmm.
I had been married, or if I had another child, the premiums for the same plan would have been $1,300 a month. And when you add that to what you pay every month or with every paycheck for Medicare, and then the portion of your tax dollars, of your income tax dollars that go to Medicaid, I mean, the average family is paying $1,500 a month for
right.
health insurance right now.
Right. And with no guarantees that should they get sick, this health insurance company will pay their bills as they would have to with any other contract.
And that's exactly right. I actually have a personal experience with that, too. My mom, she passed away about 3 years ago. But about 10 years ago, she had gallstones. And the doctors wanted to use a sonogram, basically, to break up the gallstones so they would pass. Okay, the insurance company turned it down. I mean, they turned it down flat. They would not pay for it. Okay, so she went through the appeals process for this insurance company, obviously not going to name it. Goes through the appeals process. While she's going through the appeals process, she has an attack, okay, and has to be rushed to the hospital and rushed to his relative because they actually live 45 miles outside of town. So it took probably close to an hour for my dad to get her to the hospital, where they did major surgery, and then the doctor botched the surgery, so she had to have follow-up surgery, and it ended up costing the insurance company probably close to $70,000 to $80,000.
Right, where if they had just allowed the original treatment, it would have been a lot less expensive, right?
It would have been probably about one-tenth that.
Right. Well,
and that, you know.
Yeah. And we hear those stories over and over and over again. You know what? And that goes to, okay, another one of the so-called lies or reasons to hate Obamacare from Alan Karuba that you started this project with. They say, page 30, a government committee will decide what treatments and benefits you get. And, unlike an insurer, there will be no appeals process. Well, even before I read what you wrote to debunk that, I thought, I'd rather have a government committee deciding it than some pencil pusher at an insurance company. I mean, we've all heard the story of Nataline Sarkazian, who was 17 years old, needed a liver transplant. The insurance company at this time was Cigna, who just denied the claim, said, no, we're not going to pay for it. The family took the story to the media. There was such an uproar over it, but time went by during the media coverage of this. Cigna finally gave in and said, okay, we'll pay for it. 2 hours later, Nataline died. It was too late.
Exactly.
So, yes, I would rather have the government say, you know, what treatments than somebody looking to make even bigger profits for an insurance company. But what was your response to this one? A government committee will decide what treatments and benefits you get, and unlike an insurer, there will be no appeals process.
Well, basically, it's absurd. I mean, there's no other word for it. I mean, first of all, there's no appeals process that's worth anything with an insurance company.
That's right.
And insurance companies are not open and above board and upfront with what they will and will not cover. I mean, I know of at least one insurance company. I know this for a fact because I've seen the memos. I wish I knew enough to be able to disclose who it was because I don't want to get sued, to be honest with you, for anything specific. But I've seen memos from a particular insurance company where underwriters and claims agents are instructed to deny every claim over $5,000. Okay, everything. Doesn't matter what it is. The idea behind it is essentially they figure a certain percentage of people won't fight the claim. Okay, they won't fight the denial.
Right.
Okay, so they save money that way. I mean, it's just the whole thing is a racket.
It is
okay?
A racket. It's a scam. It is government-sanctioned extortion. I just
saw Public Enemies, and I'll be honest with you. I think John Dillinger was more open and above board than most insurance companies.
I think you're right.
You know, I mean, you knew what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with
you made no bones about it.
Right. You don't know. And the idea that given the Constitution, okay, and this is to me the key, okay, given the Constitution, and this seemed to be a recurring theme with what I wrote and put up today, with the quote unquote Christian lawyers who wrote the second piece, they kept talking about how, you know, they don't trust the government to make rules and they don't, you know, the government's going to do all these horrible things to you. Well, the Constitution kind of prevents that. Okay, so here's the thing. To say there's no appeals process is totally ignorant because according to the Constitution, there has to be an appeals process. The government literally cannot deny you anything without due process. Okay, so if they offer you a health care plan, and they say they're going to cover this and this and this. First of all, it has to be open and above board. If you know, it's going to be on a government website. You're going to be able to find out whether they cover your procedure or whatever before you even engage in it, okay? And if they try to deny that, there has to be an appeals process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of the Constitution.
Right. Well, there's more accountability when you're dealing with the government than when you're dealing with a private company.
Right. And this is the part that the right wing just doesn't get, is the reason there's government accountability is because the government is us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They like to deal with the government as if it's some sort of entity out there. Okay. But the fact of the matter is the government is us. We decide what's going to be covered and what isn't. And we decide if something the committee says isn't what we want, we have the option of going in and changing that. Okay, whereas with an insurance company, you just don't have that option. You
right.
just don't.
Right.
And
no,
not
you're...
only that, but the way that if you look at the way private insurance is run now, okay, you don't have any choice. If you look at this bill really closely, and I mentioned this quite a few times in the article, okay, this bill gives you choice, not just the government option. These people would love for you to believe that it puts the government in charge of all of your health care decisions. But the fact of the matter is it mandates that, you know, that any private insurance company who wants to be involved in this, okay, has to come up with three levels of plan, okay, and they have to be included on kind of a cafeteria-style sheet by each employer who provides insurance for the employee to check off. So right now you have human resources people who deal with the insurance companies and sign contracts that you'll never see, and, you know, and you basically have – your choice. Your choice is essentially either I have health insurance or I don't have health insurance. That's really the only choice you have. This bill gives you choice. You know, and
right, and hopefully, I mean, and it does a lot of other things too. I mean, the whole nonsense about pre-existing conditions would go away. I mean, and again, it goes back to the question I asked before. I don't understand why the average guy on the street, average, you know, window washer or busboy or, you know, even lawyer or accountant, why do they want to deny everybody health coverage? I don't get it. I mean, one of the things
Honestly, I think most people don't. I think most people are getting it now. Most of the polls I see basically put support for healthcare reform at somewhere between 70-75%. And that's better than it was. And you and I both know. I mean, come on. There are 20% of the population is against anything a quote-unquote liberal does.
Of course.
With liberal being defined as anybody, you know, anybody left of Attila the Hun, essentially, mm-hmm. is a liberal. I mean, these people actually think George W. Bush was too liberal, okay? This is how sick these people are, okay?
Yeah, you got that right.
You know, and the thing is that they're going to be against anything that we come up with simply because we came up with it. And I think a lot of the problem is that people, like I said, they don't know how much they're actually paying, number one, because someone else is paying it. And number two, this is a really key thing, too, in my opinion, is that most people don't get sick. I mean, the vast majority of people over the course of like a 5-year period will never get sick to the point where they have to go to a doctor. They may go for checkups, which are pretty much every plan in the world covers to a certain extent, although
mm-hmm.
I've noticed that the co-payments have been inching higher and higher.
Yes,
and
they
higher.
Have. Premiums have.
You know,
well,
but you're paying $1,000 to go to the doctor once, you know, twice a year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the bottom line is that those on the right are putting out a lot of bad information, a lot of lies, to not put a euphemism on it. And your blog, pleasecutthecrap.com, it helps deconstruct those lies, helps debunk them, and gives you some good ammo to fight back, although much of it is just common sense. But a lot of them, you point out, you go exactly into the bill as it stands now and prove that what they're saying is just patently false. And so I hope everyone goes and reads it and takes the ammo with them to the water cooler or wherever they talk with people about these kind of things.
And there is one name that everyone should know in this whole debate, and that is Betsy McCoy. When you hear her name, just assume that everything coming out of her mouth is a lie.
Okay, tell us real quick
and
about Betsy McCoy.
I dare her to say, sue me.
All right, tell us in the minute we have left who Betsy McCoy is.
Betsy McCoy is used to be the Lieutenant Governor of New York. She is also she was also the instigator of an article called No Exit, which was in the New Republic back in 1994 when the Clinton health plan was being proposed. She essentially wrote about a 5-page article in that publication that was probably about 90% lies. And unfortunately, we didn't have the internet back then, so a lot of the lies were hard to find, it was hard to expose them right away. So the Clinton plan died, and she actually won an award for it. And after the award came out, then her own magazine basically apologized for the article. Okay. Now, fast forward, she's the one that a few months ago claimed that the stimulus bill contained a provision that would basically make everybody's health records available to anyone who wanted them. I mean, in other words, she basically lied about that.
Yeah.
And now she's the one that instigated this whole rigmarole right now about how the new healthcare bill wants to put all old people to death.
Ah, she's the one saying we're going to euthanize the old people.
She's the one that started this rumor.
And she and we've got a congresswoman down here, too. Her name is Ginny Brown-Waite, who's picking up that banner and running with it, too. But Betsy McCoy, she's the one behind it, huh?
She's the one behind it, and she's behind most of the, well, I shouldn't say most of them. She's behind a lot of the misinformation on this, and she's, when you hear her name, just immediately just assume that what she's saying is crap. And what I would like everyone to do is to go do their own research. I mean, even in my articles, I encourage people to read the bill. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Go read it yourself and know what it says, because that's the only way you can be effective in fighting these people.
You got that right. But a good place to start is pleasecutthecrap.com, and you have a link to the bill itself in with all of your all of that. So it's all there, and there's also a piece called Cutting the Healthcare Crap, Betsy McCoy. It looks like McCoggy or something, but it's McCoy.
Yeah, it's,
so
it's, McCoy.
It's all there at pleasecutthecrap.com. There's a link to it from my page at airamerica.com and my blog at radioornot.com. It is a pleasure, Milt Shook, to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Air America.
Thank you, Nicole. It's
all right.
A pleasure.
Take care. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep checking out on your site. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and, so that's Cutting the Crap. Next, we're going to blow the whistles, so to speak. It's Nicole Sandler on Air America. Don't go away.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
This way, you can lose it without knowing. You wake up, and you don't know.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
And we are back. The number is 866-303-2270. Before I go to the phones, I want to play for you this ad that CNN will not air because they say it's too personal.
Why do the health insurance companies and Republicans want to kill President Obama's health insurance reform? Because they like things the way they are now. Ed Hanway, CEO of insurance giant Cigna, makes $12.2 million a year. That's $5,883 an hour. Ed makes more in one day than the average worker makes all year long. Now Ed's retiring with a $73 million golden parachute. The Republican prescription for the health insurance crisis? Be as rich as Ed. You'll be happy too.
You think? And CNN refused to run the ad because they said, oh, it was too personal. Talked about one guy. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. Jeanette in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hi, you're on Air America with Nicole Sandler.
Hey, you're doing a great job. I just had a thought, and that's, why doesn't somebody call it the uninsurance program?
The uninsurance program?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm following.
Okay.
You.
Well, maybe I got it wrong then. But, you know, they're trying to do a health insurance program, or what they have is an uninsurance program.
What they have now?
Yeah.
Yeah, what they have now is just, it's extortion. They take your money and then you're not guaranteed of anything. They have fever. In fact, after the break, we're going to come back with an interview I did earlier today with Wendell Potter.
I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to take your time, but you know what I mean, UN and then insurance.
Yes. No, I know what you're saying, because they don't cover you. And what's really sad, when you think about it, and it's good to go back and watch the movie Sicko again, because I did after not having seen it since it had first come out. And it blew my mind all over again. And the thing is, that movie is about people who have health insurance. People who have health insurance in this country are still losing their homes.
If we had Medicare, we would be on track, and we wouldn't have the budget we have now.
Well, you're right. You know what? I'm going to read you something that Milt Shook wrote back in July 9th. He wrote, the goal, health insurance without the BS. Here are a few things to think about. The United States is the only industrialized nation in the world in which a citizen can get sick and lose everything they've worked for their entire life. The United States is the only industrialized nation in the world in which people die because they can't afford a doctor. The U.S. is the only industrialized nation in the world in which those most likely to need medical care are actually not allowed to pay into it. The U.S. pays far more per capita for health care than any other country in the world, even though nearly a quarter of the population is not covered at any given time. And it goes on. It is a crime. We should be ashamed of our status in the world, is how he closes that piece. It is well worth listening to. Thanks for calling, Jeanette. I appreciate it. On the other side of this break, my favorite whistleblower, Wendell Potter. Don't go away.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Nicole Sandler.